Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne.
From the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I find myself without a noisemaker. At this time of year, Carol Brewer, aren't we supposed to have noisemakers? I probably should have brought something in.
We are, but what? Well, your bell is a noisemaker.
It's not that great for the new year. I need a horn of something, and I have been known to bring them in the past, and I didn't bring any noisemaker. That's just so sad.
All right. Well, if I find something, I will pull it out.
Something just lying around the radio station.
You never know.
I don't know for sure, but I think it might be just you and me here today. So you're going to be tweeting and Facebooking and with your new
answering phones. Yep. People calling.
And I want people to call in because and that number, of course, is 773-763-9278. Because I want to ask folks Several questions. One, what they think the top environmental story of the year is. Two, what they learned about gardening this year. Some knowledge that they can pass along to all of us, because I'm always eager to learn more about gardening. And three, whatever, you know, say hi or wish Happy New Year, or, you know, like I said, a gardening tip or an environmental story or whatever. 773-763-9278. And I should mention at the beginning that Auld Lang Syne you heard.
I was just going to ask where that was. I like that version.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Here's the cool part. That guy who did that is Andreas Enriquez. And Andreas is a member of the Frozen Robins, my caroling group. And all five parts, and that's five-part harmony, were done by Andreas. That's him.
Wow, that's nice.
And,
that's great.
And that's his arrangement. Isn't that awesome? We're really excited to have him in the group because he's very sharp, very good musician, and I love that. That's my new favorite arrangement of Auld Lang Syne, right there, the one by Andreas Enriquez. So congratulations to him, and thank him. If you want a copy of it, just write to me. I'll send you something. Or, you know, here's even better, because this show, of course, will be put up on the podcast after, you know, probably not tonight, but maybe tomorrow. It's certainly within the next couple of days. And then you'll have it. You'll have it, a recording of it that you can just link to at the top of the show. So for those folks who like that, and I hope they do, give me a shout out and I'll pass along the word to Andreas. So that's cool. As a matter of fact, I sang with him last night at the Morton Arboretum, which was our penultimate performance, meaning our final performance for the season is next Saturday, the 4th of January at Illumination at the Morton Arboretum. And the place was packed last night. It was jam-packed.
It was a nice night to be out, so.
You know, we have had some nasty ones. Last week it rained. The week before that was brutally cold. We've had a couple of brutally cold evenings on Saturday evenings. And a little bit of everything, including some snow on some evenings. Last night may have been the best day to be there because, what was it, 45 degrees last night? And they sold out.
Wow.
They had a sign. You're driving up to the Morton Arboretum. It says, sold out. Now, how do you sell out an arboretum?
Wow. That's amazing.
And I think they've decided they will allow a certain number of people in there. And that's it. And then they stop it. And it was great fun. Wonderful. And I'm looking forward to one more day with the Frozen Robins out at Illumination at the Morton Arboretum. It is a little strange though. And that's because of our tradition in this country, which I have always thought is a little odd. It's the day after, not even the day after. We hit midnight on Christmas Day. We stop playing carols. Bam, we're done. It's that station in town that is all Christmas carols all the time. Midnight. Bam, we're back to soft rock.
But you're still singing.
But we're still singing.
You're still going at it.
We're still going at it.
Nice.
So you can
get... We got one more week, right?
One more week. Next Saturday, the 4th of January at Illumination, and this is the final week for Illumination at the Morton Arboretum. Now, if you can't come next Saturday, you should try to come during the week. I mean, it is holiday week. A lot of people have off. A lot of kids were there last night. Folks bringing their kids. And what a great way to introduce them to trees. See them all lighted up and then come out during the day and say, now this is what a tree looks like with natural light, with the sun's light. And so the final day of Illumination is the next Saturday, the 4th of January. So I hope folks who have heard about it but have not gotten out there will head out to the Morton Arboretum in Lyle Illinois, and see Illumination. On today's show, as I said, 773-763-9278. Guess what, kids? It's all you. And my folks, my friends who listen, and I hope will call in and talk to us. I got some things to talk about, but would love to hear from you. 773-763-9278. Of course, you can always post on Facebook. You can post on Twitter. I saw a story yesterday. I think it was yesterday morning, that to teenagers, Facebook is officially dead.
Yes, this is true. I have a teenager.
You knew about this?
Yeah, I did know. But they do
it's
other
dead.
Things. They do other things. I don't know exactly what they are.
and it was funny because the article I was reading, and it was basing it on Italian kids. They say they're done with Facebook. The minute the adults got involved, it was all over for Facebook.
Interesting.
But even though Facebook is more sophisticated than a lot of the other programs out there and apps, because you can do a lot with Facebook. Kids don't care. It's like they'd rather be limited and do something that their parents aren't doing.
Right. And they're very interested in pictures, like quick pictures to each other, make
well,
each other
funny
laugh.
You should say that.
Are you going to disagree?
No.
Oh, okay.
Kathleen's nephew on Christmas Day introduced me to Snapchat. All right.
What'd you think?
I'm not impressed.
You're not? Okay.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is. It's same technology, same stuff, just new. And so that's why the kids use it. And basically, Snapchat is you take a photo, you take a video, 10 seconds, I guess 10 seconds max. And I could be wrong about that because I'm new to it. I just signed up. And then you send it to somebody and it shows up once and then disappears. Now, you don't have access to it. I'll bet Snapchat's got access to it. I don't know. I don't trust it. And one of the arguments about these against some of these apps that are out there is that they you know, you've got to do your password and your information and they have access to pretty much everything. And that was the other thing in this article I read. Kids don't care. They say, take it all. I don't care. I don't care what you know about me. They, you know, whatever happened to privacy?
No. Yeah,
that doesn't exist. So you know about this from your teenager.
A little bit, but I don't. Yeah. You're already ahead of me that you've signed up. You have an account for Snapchat. am I going to be doing Snapchat here soon? you are.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. You know what? You want to know why? Because it disappears in 10 seconds.
Right.
That's not good for marketing. Is
no.
it?
Well,
it might be good for you for somebody just having a quick conversation with somebody. But you know, if I'm sending something out, I want it to be out there for
right.
a while. I want to be able to say, hey, go to whatever and take a look at it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't see the value, but, you know.
I don't either, but and I have not been part of Instagram. Have you been part of that?
No. No, Mike.
Is your daughter part of that?
I'm sure she is.
What, you don't know? You're a parent. How do you not know this?
Yes, I'm sure she is. I just tell her, I give her the rules. Don't post things that you wouldn't want, you know, your mother or the public to see or that will haunt you for your life.
And how does a teenager know what that is?
She sees the look that I give her. And I guess that is all it takes. You
wow.
think I'm nice, but.
Yes, I do. But I would like to see secret videos of you talking to your child.
Well, we'll have to do that on Snapchat.
And it will show up once. Give us 10 seconds of you admonishing.
And that's all you will need.
I think that would be very funny.
Yeah, it would
that.
Be.
So, yeah, I'm on Snapchat. And the interesting thing was I went, it tells you which of your friends are on Snapchat. You want to guess how many of my contact list is on Snapchat, and I have, I don't know, 250, maybe 300 contacts on my cell phone.
I'm going to say like you can count them on your hand?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And some of them do it, I can tell they do it professionally. Like the one of the women at the Morton Arboretum is on Snapchat. And I went, okay, this has something to do with her work, I'm sure. Or maybe because she's got children, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
I mean, there must be some usefulness in our arena. I don't know yet. Maybe someone can tell us.
773-763-9278. Tell me why Snapchat might be useful. But the other thing, as I mentioned before, would love to hear from you about what you thought the top environmental stories are of the year. What gardening tips you have that you learned this year that you would love to pass along. I got one I can pass along that is, I think, is a cool tip. And I've mentioned it on the show before. I learned about potatoes. First of all, I have become obsessed with growing potatoes in the last couple of years and had a pretty decent crop this year. I want to do more. But I learned that the bloom of the potato is an indication of what color the potato itself will be. So if you got yourself a white bloom, you're going to have a white potato. You got a yellow bloom, you're going to have a yellow potato. You got a purple bloom, purple potatoes. I thought that was pretty cool. And folks can give me a call. Love to have you be part of the show, part of Twitter, part of Facebook. Snapchat, not so much.
Not so much.
Although, I'm on Snapchat. Somebody wants to send me... would be interesting. That would be a first to have a Snapchat come via the phone here. If it shows up, I will immediately let you know.
So I have a question about the potatoes.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Well, you know...
Go for it.
Do you need a lot of garden space?
No.
You're in the city, so...
No. One of the great things about potato growing these days is people do it in containers. You know, you can get a small container. You want to have a certain amount. I mean, we're talking 5 gallon, 10 gallon at least to start. But if you go online and look at potato containers, growing potatoes in containers, it has become a whole system that many people in tight spaces use. Now, you do need some sun, believe it or not, even though they're underground, but the top of the plant needs sun, and potatoes needs lots of sun. But you can grow potatoes in those containers. So you probably have some room in your yard.
Yeah, and I'm thinking more containers. That might be a good way to go this summer, this spring.
I tell you what, you should look it up and let me know. If I get a chance today, I will look it up. Or maybe somebody has grown potatoes in containers this year and would love to talk to you about that experience. 773-763-9278. Now, I was very excited when I walked in this morning because I received a book in the mail here. My guest next week, who has been on the show before several times, is a wonderful writer and a great naturalist in the area, and that's Joel Greenberg. And, of course, 2014, as you might remember, or maybe you don't, and I will remind you, is the anniversary of the death of the final passenger pigeon in 1914. Martha was the pigeon's name, of course, named after Martha Washington. And the problem with that, I mean, things go extinct all the time, but this is sort of the iconic extinction of the 20th century, I would guess. I understand the black rhinoceros just became extinct. Woohoo! Congratulations for us. Just a few weeks ago, I read about that. But in 1914, the passenger pigeon disappeared forever. And Project Passenger Pigeon is an ongoing project that's going to be a film. And Joel Greenberg has written a book called A Feathered River Across the Sky, the passenger pigeon's flight to extinction. And he's going to be on the program next Sunday. And I just got the book. So I'm reading from the dust cover, dust jacket here. When Europeans arrived in North America, 25 to 40% of the continent's birds were passenger pigeons. 25, think about that. 25 to 40% of all of the birds on the North American continent were passenger pigeons, traveling in flocks so massive as to block out the sun for hours or even days. The downbeats of their wings would chill the air beneath and create a thundering roar that would drown out all other sound. Feeding flocks would appear as, quote, a blue wave 4 or 5 feet high rolling toward you, end quote. John James Audubon, impressed by their speed and agility, said a lone passenger pigeon streaking through the forest passes like a thought. How prophetic, for although a billion pigeons likely crossed the skies near Toronto in May of 1860, as recently as 1860, a billion passenger pigeons, little more than 50 years later, passenger pigeons were extinct. As he writes, the last of the species, Martha, died in captivity at the Cincinnati Zoo on September 1st, 1914. And Joel Greenberg has written about this in his new book, and he sent me something recently about it, which is, I want to see if I can find it, because he was very excited about the fact that he's getting remarkable coverage about this. And I don't know that I can track. I just thought of it just now because the book arrived this morning. I hadn't planned to talk about it, but I think the New York Times Review of Books is looking at it, which is fabulous. And this is a guy who's written some remarkable books for the area, but about the natural area of Chicago. And he's very excited because the New York Times Review of Books is taking a look at a feathered river across the sky, the passenger pigeon's flight to extinction. So congratulations to him. And the book is coming out. In fact, I think it comes out in the next several weeks. So this will be really a great thing for me to have him on now before the book actually comes out. So I'm very excited about that. And Joel, of course, has written A Natural History of the Chicago Region and other books. So he will be on the program next week. 773-763-9278. It's the end of the year show. Mike Novak show. And so I guess it is us.
Yeah, it
you
is
and
us.
Me. You and
you
me, Carol.
What? Yes. It is us. And there is a caller. Mike is on the line.
About Snapchat?
He wants to fill us in.
Okay. We'll go to there. Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
All right. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
All right. I have to ask you a question. All right. So you're on Snapchat.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
How old are you?
I am 25.
And you listen to this show?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's a good thing, Mike.
That is a really good thing. Yeah. No, I'm kind of impressed with myself there. You know, I have to tell my advertisers, hey, I'm bringing in the younger demos.
Yep.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. All right, what's the deal with Snapchat?
I was just going to comment on how it, you know, could be useful for businesses in the sense that if they're online, you know, like, social media and all that, it's a big thing, and it's useful, you know? I mean, you could use it for many things, like, you know, if you call someplace, let's say, they usually have some kind of, like, automated system, like, you know, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, and they go to, like, 19. So instead of that, you could just Snapchat something real quick, and then you can get an answer, you know. I just think it's useful. I mean, it's just another tool to use. And
yeah. All right, my question would be, why can't you do that with Twitter or text?
Well, I mean, you can, but it's just another medium. You know what I'm saying? It would just be another way, because it's, you know, pictures or video or whatever, you know? So it's, I don't know, like, can you show me, like, this product? Bam, take a picture. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is. Here's the price. I don't know. Just useful, I guess.
I have to tell you something, Mike. I'm very impressed with you for a couple of reasons. One, you listen to the show, which that's kind of obvious. Two, you just said it's a medium, singular. You know the difference between the words medium and media, don't you?
Yes, I believe I do.
Well, guess what? Because you're such an intelligent boy, remarkable boy, I want to send you something.
What are you going to send me?
All right. This is old school.
Some tomatoes?
But what? No, I'm not going to send you tomatoes. Well, that would be interesting. Would you like something that's totally old school?
It depends how old school.
Okay. Here's how old.
I'm cracking up, Vic.
You are a discerning man as well, Mike, and I appreciate that. Do you ever carry business cards?
Well, I do have a wallet, and it has some business cards in there, so I'd have to say yes.
Okay. I have a business card holder. All right. And it is made of recycled lumber by Horrigan Urban Forest Products. They are based in the area, and they recycle lumber products. And it's really cool. It's this lovely little business card holder that they created out of used lumber. And I would like to send you one.
I'm interested. I got to say, I'm interested.
I think you'll like it. It's really classy. Look at this, Carol. Isn't that nice? Lovely little business card holder.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
You'll like it, Mike.
I carry one with me in my back pocket. And I'm going to send one to you because you called in and let us know about this. And you know about the difference between medium and media.
All right, well, if Carol approves, I got it.
I'm so glad that you need my approval. But you know what, Mike? If you don't like it, you can we're all about, you know, recycling.
That's right.
You can re-gift it.
You could re-gift it if it totally has.
Yeah. Someone will
you
like
have
it.
No interest in at all. So
if I don't like it, then I'll give it to my mother. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, she'll love it.
Does she listen to the show?
I got to be honest. I don't think so.
That's okay.
I disappoint you guys, but
Mike, I'm curious. Do you listen to the show for the gardening aspects or for the environmental, or both, or just because you know, you're?
I just like knowledge, I guess, you know, just of everything. I just know a whole lot of nothing, and it just expands to the nothingness, I guess.
Expands the nothingness.
I like that. I'm gonna put that on my business card.
I have a feeling this just
more frequently. I could give you guys some ideas.
I'm sorry, what?
I said I should call in more frequently and give you guys some more ideas.
You could be our social media advisor if you want to be.
Our go-to guy.
The go-to guy for all the latest. What other social media do you use, Mike?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I guess if you would call that. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know, like a bunch of weird ones, I guess.
How many Snapchat friends do you have?
I don't know, like regularly, or because people have Snapchat and don't use it too, you know, so.
People have Twitter and don't use it. I know that all the time because Constantly people drop off of Twitter. They decide they don't know how to use it. They don't want to use it and they're gone. And it's even Facebook that happens, sometimes too.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not gonna lie. I've, you know, like, canceled my Facebook account a couple times.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it, I don't know. It's just too much sometimes. It just, I just feel like it, you know, I'm like, I was born in the 80s, you know, so I was at the time when there was no, when internet was starting and, like, there weren't cell phones. Like, I remember that time, you know, and with all this internet media craze, it's just weird sometimes, you know.
You know, Mike, I was starting to go gray in the 80s. I'm just letting you know, okay?
What was that? I'm sorry?
I was starting to go gray in the 80s.
Oh, well, I, you know, that happens.
It doesn't. Well, hey, listen, but you didn't really answer the question quickly. How many Snapchat friends do you regularly connect with on Snapchat?
Oh, regularly, like, I'd say 5.
That's not exactly a lot of people.
No, it's not. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things that, it just, not that appealing, but it can be fun, but it gets stale also at the same time, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it. All right, well, listen, Mike, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you so much. And I'm going to send you this, like I said, totally old school, a business card holder, but it's made of recycled lumber. I think you're going to find it pretty nifty. And if you don't like it, pass it to your mom or whoever. And I appreciate you listening to the show. I need you to hang on so that you can talk to Carol and give her your information. And I'm going to try not to hang up on you. I think I know how to do this. This is also old school technology. But thanks again and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
All right. There he goes. All right. I got him on hold properly. Amtrak Tim is hanging out. I'm going to get to him in just a second. But first, believe it or not, it's time to think about ordering seed catalogs for your 2014 garden. And if you listen to the show at all, you know I'm going to recommend that one of those catalogs be from D. Landreth Seed Company. Now, why? Well, since 1784... and that's a long time. The D. Landreth Seed Company has been providing its customers with one of the most extensive selections of fine lawn and garden seeds in the world. Their founders introduced into the United States some of the most beloved flowers and vegetables known today, including the zinnia, the white potato, I was talking about potatoes earlier, various tomatoes, and their own Bloomsdale spinach. And guess what? For 2014, Landreth is holding all of its prices at 2013 levels. Because of this, there was no need to print a 2014 catalog, and they reduced the price of the catalog to $5 for this year. To order some of the finest heirloom and historic seeds on the planet, go to LandrethSeeds.com or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407. 800-654, for those of you in old school media, meaning the telephone, 800-654-2407. The D. Landreth Seed Company is America's company. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seed since 1784.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room! My energy is being wasted!
Fear not! I can help! There you go!
I'm saved!
Be a hero!
Hooray!
Save energy! Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings!
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees and me. Yeah, I know that at this time of year, I constantly remind you of recycling your Christmas trees. I apologize for that. But it's basically because, one, it's so easy. And two, if you get this done, you might realize how simple it is to recycle common items around your house and compost your organic matter, folks. It really ain't rocket science, and it does the planet a lot of good. If you want to reuse your Christmas tree, the branches can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard. Or you can cut off the branches and use them to cover the plants in your yard until spring. That's how easy it is. Meanwhile, the arborists at The Care of Trees are always there for a talk. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. I have no idea whether they're on Snapchat. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. Let's go to line two. Amtrak Tim, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Mike. How's it going?
Okay. What's up?
Well, I was really glad to hear that we're going to have a talk about thorium. But it didn't sound like you were talking to Thorium Energy Alliance. Who are you bringing on?
I have gone to the American Nuclear Society. Because someone last year when we were talking about this, somebody gave me a tip about that, and I've been talking with them, and they are looking at a guy to bring on the show, and I think it's going to be second or third week in January, Professor Paul Wilson from the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
But I know that you were interested in the thorium group. What's the name of the group again?
It's called the Thorium Energy Alliance. They've have their annual conference here in Chicago in May every year.
Thorium Energy Alliance. So what I did is I wrote to them. I said, hey, all right, if we do bring in somebody from the Thorium Energy Alliance as well. So I may have both. And for those of you who are wondering what the heck we're talking about, I talked about nuclear power a couple of weeks ago. Amtrak Tim, for now a year, has been trying to get me to talk about thorium nuclear energy because it is allegedly very much safer than the uranium-based, and the waste product is practically non-existent. Is that correct, Tim?
There is very little waste generated. The big key of thorium over uranium, the problem with our uranium cycle, it's extremely inefficient. When you use a uranium rod, you only use 5% of the uranium in that rod. 95% of the uranium is unusable because of xenon off-gassing, which I don't want to get into. But basically, most of the waste you have at all of our nuclear power plants could be reused. And in fact, in France, they do. In France, they take their uranium rods and use them 20 more times. We only use them once, which is really wasteful.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is interesting. You know, and my argument, my question actually, not an argument, but my question, and one I will pose to the folks who are on the show who know about thorium nuclear energy is, if it is so wonderful, why has it not been pursued?
Well, I can give you my reason for that. The reason mainly is because our present nuclear fleet is more or less just an offshoot of the Manhattan Project. We haven't done any real cerium. We haven't done any real serious nuclear research in this country for 50 years, more than that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all of our nuclear power plants are based on the same technology that was used in the Manhattan Project to make bombs. They're basically, this is just the offshoot of the Manhattan Project. These are the problem with our nuclear power plants. The reason that we recycle our uranium rods is because you're going to actually get an offtake of plutonium. And people worried about, what do you do with this plutonium? The advantage of thorium is you don't make what's called transuranics. Transuranics are anything on the periodic table that's higher than uranium. And those type of elements are very dangerous. These are things that have like the 10,000 year half-lives. They're really dangerous, dangerous stuff. The advantage of thorium is you don't create these higher elements higher than uranium. So your decay product chain is much faster, and the products that are decaying down are much safer. Actually, some of the decay products off of thorium are medical isotopes. So you could be having somebody who's a cancer treatment, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things you could be doing is treating them with basically nuclear waste from your power plants. So the power plant operators would be happy to give it to the medical facility just to get rid of it.
Interesting.
Free cancer treatment. Not the doctors won't be free, but the chemical used to treat them will be free. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about real quick is, I know you're a real big wind and solar guy, and there's a question I think the wind and solar people need to answer for me that I need to have answered.
Mm-hmm.
Wind and solar require a tremendous amount of rare earth elements. Rare earth elements are always found with thorium. So the manufacture of wind and solar, actually all of our electronics in the world, create a tremendous amount of thorium nuclear waste. If we start manufacturing wind and solar in this country in any large scale, we're going to create a tremendous amount of thorium nuclear waste. If we had thorium nuclear reactors, we'd have a place to offtake that waste and dispose of it. That's the reason we don't mine rare earth elements in this country at any scale anymore, and why all the electronics industry has moved to China, because China is simply stockpiling its thorium, providing rare earth elements to the electronics industry of China, which has basically become our electronics industry. That's why everything's made in China, is because the China is simply stockpiling the thorium nuclear waste, and they're making available to the electronics industry the rare earth elements to make. Wind and solar at the scale that you would like, Mike, have to have a disposal option for thorium nuclear waste. At the present, we don't have one. The only option I can see that makes any sense, I mean, if there's a better option, I'd be open to it, but if they can stop considering the thorium as waste and start considering it to be fuel, then you have a way to dispose of it. You have a way to complete the cycle.
Well, I have a feeling that you'll be calling in to talk about this when we have our experts on that. So that I don't have a specific date right now. I think it's either going to be the 19th of January or the 26th, somewhere in there. But we should have somebody from the American Nuclear Society, but also possibly from the Thorium Energy Alliance. And we'll get to the bottom of this. And I appreciate you calling.
If you could give me one more second.
Yeah.
The top story of this year, environmental story,
yes,
is the fact that four leading climate scientists have come out and said the dirty N-word for a solution to our global warming problem, and that's nuclear energy. Now, what type of nuclear energy we can discuss, but they said the dirty N-word about how to solve global warming, and I think it needs to be part of the discussion.
It probably does in some way. I'm eager to hear more about the thorium possible solution, and we will talk about it in a few weeks. So, Happy New Year, Amtrak Tim. Thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rick DeMaio, Ricky D., coming up with your weather forecast in exactly 90 seconds.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Should old acquaintance be forgotten and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgotten and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of time to get for old lang syne.
I'm still waiting for a Snapchat to come in. Nothing. Of course, I would have to tell people what my Snapchat handle is. But it's easy. I'm not hiding anything. I don't have any secret words when I do stuff. See, I'm just trying to get the word out about the show. So my Snapchat handle is Mike_Nowak, N-O-W-A-K. So feel free to send me a Snapchat. That probably sounds, it's probably pretty dangerous too. Let's go to line one. Ricky D, how are you? Happy New Year.
How are you, Mickey N? How about that?
Mickey N. All right. Ricky and Mickey. It's like the Ricky and Mickey show.
Yeah, we're the Lords of Flatbush.
Right? I guess.
Yo, Lucy. I don't know. So what's this handle stuff? I must have missed the Snapdragon. What is it? What
do you No, Snapchat. I had.
Okay. Another way of talking to people in the mass media. I got it.
Yeah, and then social media. Let's put it, that's not mass media necessarily. It's social media.
Okay, if it's social media, why are some people so nasty with emails and texts? Shouldn't it be asocial media?
Anti-social media.
Yeah, anti, I don't know.
Well, I had a caller. Mike called the show earlier because I got introduced to Snapchat on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was worth.
Oh, now I know what it is. My son explained it to me yesterday, and also with the help of an 11-year-old. See how life has become full circle?
Yeah. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, took a picture of me from, I don't know, 25 years ago, put it on his Facebook page, and all of a sudden he was getting all these likes. I'm like, what's this? He goes, it's Snapchat, Dad. I'm like, what's that? He goes, and then the 10-year-old actually explains it to me. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea what this is, but if you guys like it and have fun with it, that's fine with me.
You know, and Mike, my caller, is 25, and he called in, and he
said... That's old in the world of social media.
I don't know, but I guess. I mean, one of the things, I know where this came from, because I was talking about an article I read yesterday about how, you know, by the time kids are getting out of their teens, they've given up on Facebook. They just have no use for it anymore, and they're looking for the new thing.
And you know something, what they've also given up on?
What?
Television.
Really?
They don't watch TV anymore.
That's a good thing, I guess.
They don't need to.
Yeah, you're right, because it's everywhere else.
It's everywhere else. It's on their computers. They're entertaining themselves the way they want to. And I feel sorry for all these cereal and toy commercials that are going to be no longer existing in the next 10 years because, well, I mean, they'll be coming to us in a different...
They'll just be in a different format.
Right. I shouldn't say they're not going to...
Oh, listen, those people have millions of dollars to spend on strategies to get the word out. I do not feel sorry for them at all.
That's what happens when a box of cornflakes costs $4 an hour, right?
I guess so, yeah. And you probably missed the Fruity Pebbles spot that I ran last week.
I did. I feel bad about that. You want to tell me about it?
Wait. I can just play it for you right now. Here's a classic.
Yummy fruity pebbles and apples. Oh, here comes you know who. Yabba dabba fruit, delicious do. Oh, ho, ho, I'm so hungry.
It's really sad, isn't it?
Because a lot of people believe that Fred Flintstone was a derivative of you know, Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners. And
well, he was. I mean,
TV, and then brought it into Fruity Pebbles. So it's just getting retrenched and retrenched, right?
That's recycling at its best.
Yeah, yeah, you would know that better than anybody. So,
and of course, they did it with
real butter.
There you go.
You are working the board today, aren't you?
I am. I don't know. Yeah. I've been in the holiday spirit for several weeks, so I get to play all the goofy stuff, and then I'll just.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I think that's the best thing about the holidays is you get to have fun for no really particular reason other than because it's the holidays.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's not like anybody can go, boy, you're in a weird mood. And you don't say, well, it's because I did well on this. You go, it's the holidays. You know, I guess the key is I woke up a half hour, 45 minutes ago, and I plugged in my Christmas tree, and it's the old, how much longer can I plug this in?
Exactly. Well, you know what? Over the years, I have gotten to the point where once we get past the new year,
right.
I start to say, oh, those are winter lights. I like them because they look nice in the winter in the snow or something like that.
Right. And it's also it's different seasons because whether or not Christmas falls on a Wednesday like it did this year or falls on a Saturday, because you go, well, it's still on a Wednesday, so I'll light it, I'll keep it lit until the Sunday after, the week after Christmas, which is the third, which is, you know, 3 days after New Year's. You know, we get all these like weird dates in our mind about how much longer you can kind of extend stuff. And then
June.
We say the most depressing day is the day that you actually have to remove the ornaments off the tree and take the tree down and go, okay, now I got to take the lights down.
Yeah, it's that, you know, and for me, that's usually May.
you beat me by a month.
you know, I got a Facebook post from one of the listeners of the show, Steve Sass, in Indiana. Mm-hmm. He says he drove the family from South Bend yesterday for his daughter's 8th birthday to the Morton Arboretum to see Illumination and was turned away. He said he didn't know that the Arboretum could sell out either, and I mentioned it earlier.
Wow.
And I think they must have sold out before the weather got nice, but I think it didn't hurt that, what was it, 45 yesterday or 40? It was really nice.
No, we topped that at 50 at Midway and 49 at O'Hare.
Well, I was thinking last night at 8 p.m.
I see, yeah. It was probably still in the mid-40s, which was remarkable because, you know, last week we talked, everything was saying that we were going to be in the mid-20s, if not maybe near 30. And this polar vortex, which has been sitting ever so sluggishly over central areas of Canada over the last 3 weeks, kind of picked up a little bit to the north. And we had a little bit of this downslope warming coming off the Rockies, melted some snow out across the Plain States. And it was really amazing because if you look at the high temperatures the last couple of days across Illinois, you could basically draw a line for about, say, Waukegan to about LaSalle to about Peoria, and then anything west of that where they had the fresh snow cover from last week were almost 8 to 10 degrees cooler than areas where we had no snow. And the areas just to the south of Chicago that melted most of their snow because they didn't really get much from the last storm, we had that due south wind for both Friday and Saturday, and that south wind was actually able to go over all bare ground, and that's one of the reasons why we made it into the low 40s on Friday. And even with the southwest winds, which was slightly over snow cover yesterday, we made it into the upper 40s near 50 degrees. And it was amazing, too, because you walked outside, you go, my, this feels nice.
Yeah.
And you don't typically do that when it's 49 degrees out, but it was sunny, and it had a nice kind of feel to the air. And then now you look outside, and it's back to the dregs of winter, because the cold front's pushed through, and by the time we get to about 9:30 this evening, the temperature is going to feel about 30 degrees colder than it is right now.
Yikes. And the question, though, is are we getting any precip with it?
You know what? We'll get a little bit of, like, light freezing drizzle, light freezing rain. It's kind of interesting because this cloud deck that's moving through is basically being pushed out of the area by very strong northerly winds. And oftentimes when you get that, you typically get, you know, this kind of rolling effect in the atmosphere, which produces a little bit of drizzle and a little bit of rain. So while we're not getting, quote, freezing rain, there's actually been reports of freezing drizzle. So between now and I'd say probably the next 2 or 3 hours, if you are heading out and about, You may run across maybe a couple of slick spots across the area, but really nothing in the way of anything significant. And in fact, looking upstream, temperatures, it's amazingly cold in northern Wisconsin. Superior right now is 8 below. Now, granted, that's way north, but that's 8 below zero. Wind chills minus 25. Even across the state line, you get into Milwaukee, the temperature's already down to 26, and the wind is out of the north at 20 gusts in the 30. So here we are sitting at 36, 75 miles north of us. It's in the mid-20s. You go another 100 miles north of that, it's in the teens, another 100 miles north of that, and you get the picture. For every 100 miles, the temperature really drops about almost 10 degrees. Mm. So mid-30s now, probably mid-20s by the noontime, if not 1 o'clock hour, when the Bears begin to play the Packers. You couldn't have written a better script.
I thought they were the late game.
They are the late game, yeah. I was going to mention that. They start at 3:30.
Right.
Temperatures game time could be in the mid-20s, and by the time they end could be in the upper teens, but the wind, 20, 30, 35 miles an hour with wind chills in the single digits. And
great. That's all we need for Cutler is to have a little gust there to throw.
I don't even want to talk about
dear.
but I know we wanted to talk about extreme weather, and why don't we table that for next week, because this way we could talk more about the new year when we talk next week.
Okay.
About extreme weather events of 2013. So bottom line, Mike, the last bit of the above freezing weather will be with us today for the next 2 hours, and that's it for the next 5 to 7 days. So mid-20s today, upper teens later on this afternoon, and then tomorrow highs probably anywhere between 10 and 12 above. Even on Tuesday, probably only in the mid-teens, but there's a little shot of what we call that Alberta Clipper type of Arctic Pacific air that'll give us a little bit of snow shower activity Tuesday, and then another event on Thursday, maybe another one on Saturday. So by the time we talk to you next week, we'll wrap up 2013 with all the talk about the extreme weather events.
Yeah.
We can have a couple, maybe 2 or 3 inches of additional snow on the ground and temperatures probably anywhere between 10 and 15 degrees below normal. But the last couple of days, I'm still thinking about it. It's been mighty nice.
It has been, and I would like to see a little bit of snow if we get really, really cold, because it's much better for the plants.
It looks nice too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. All right, well, Happy New Year, Rick.
You too, Mike, and we'll talk next week and wrap up the year 2013 and all the extreme weather events.
That sounds great. That's exactly what we will do. All right, take care. Have a great day.
Okay, sure.
Coming up in the second hour, more of the same. So give us a call, 773-763-9278. It's the Mike Novak Show.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I feel like it's just kind of a laid back end of the year here, just sort of talking about this and talking about that. Just me and Carol here by the fire. Wait, there's a fire in the studio? Just kidding.
Oh my gosh, I hope not.
No.
That would be something exciting.
That would be a little too exciting for me.
Yeah.
I have not received a Snapchat, so obviously not very many people listening to the show.
No, we actually have a first-time caller that's on the line.
Really?
Yeah, she's. I had a little chat with her earlier. She's got a lot of interesting ideas, even for us.
That's always scary. Oh, and before I forget, starting next year, ha ha ha, meaning next week, ha ha ha. There are going to be some changes around here. on the show. I'm doing nothing major. I'm not throwing you out the door.
You're shaking things up. I can tell.
Not really. Not very much.
It's a shake up. It's a shakedown.
It's a shakedown is what
shakedown.
It is. Yes. No, not that much. But in response to some folks who have indicated they would like to see this, 9:15 is going to be dedicated to gardening. Now, that won't be the let me explain this. This will not be the only time I do gardening, because I do gardening all over the show sometimes. And then sometimes I don't do any. But 9:15, if for about 15 minutes, there is going to be dedicated to gardening strictly. So we'll still have Rick DeMaio at 9:45 with weather. But at 9:15 every Sunday, you know, maybe we'll just call it 15 minutes of gardening. I don't know. We're looking at names. I have no idea what to title it yet. But starting next week, dedicating that just so for you folks who do like the gardening portion of the show. And like I said, I'll do it after 10 o'clock, too, depending on what's going on in the world. But certainly 9:15 to 9:30 will roughly in that area will be every week something. Maybe a tip, maybe an interview, maybe new book, maybe who knows, just something about gardening starting the 5th of January 2014 in the new year. Let's go to the phones. And Linda from Northwest Indiana, good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. So you're a first-time listener and caller?
Yes, I am. I've read your column, so in Chicagoland Gardening, but I just, for whatever reason, haven't had you on before. Or sometimes, because I live in Porter County, Indiana, and sometimes my reception isn't really great, and today it's fantastic. So, I want to make sure that I tune in all the time. I listen to the caller speaking about thorium, and that just sounds like a really interesting issue. So I want to make sure I listen to that one for sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. I mean, it to my mind, and Tim will understand this because he and I have talked about this before. It almost seems too good to be true. And like I said, but his point is well taken, that since the 1940s, you know, since the Manhattan Project, basically what we did is we, you know, it sounds like we put Homer Simpson in charge and then we left the building. So we haven't really done as much research on this as we should. Who knows? I don't know. But that's why I'm interested to get the folks from the American Nuclear Society on, and perhaps the thorium energy people as well. And we'll see what happens. What did that bring to mind for you, Linda?
Well, you mentioned a couple different topics that you wanted callers to call in about. One was an environmental issue. And I am a scientist. I have a background in chemistry. And I guess one of the issues that I think is it's a sleeping issue, but it's going to come back to bite us in the butt, is fracking. I mean, we haven't heard a lot about it recently, but I think the main issue is the fact that the companies have been allowed to go ahead and pursue fracking when the science that we have is incomplete. And, for example, some of the proprietary compounds that they're using in these, when they do the fracking, we don't always even have analytical methods that can detect these compounds. So I think that there's a lot more to it, and I think we have to be a lot more cautious about how we proceed until we know more.
Linda, what kind of science do you practice? Are you a professional scientist?
Right. I'm a chemist, but I don't even pretend to have expertise in any particular area. I work in a laboratory.
Now, okay, that being said, however, you do this for a living, and you are concerned about the fracking chemicals that are being used. And I would disagree with your observation, I guess, that fracking was under the radar.
I think it was more prominent a year or two ago. I think it's still out there, but I just don't think it's grabbing the headlines the way it was.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was looking around for top environmental stories of 2013, and I went to grist.org. Are you familiar with Grist?
No, but I'll check it out.
You should. I love Grist. They're motto is a beacon in the smog. And they do it, their environmental reporting, with slightly tongue-in-cheek. I mean, they're serious about it, but they're, how should I put it? They have fun too, you know. They're not all gloom and doom. And one of their writers, John Upton, had the top 13 green stories of 2013, the good, the bad, and the muddled. And number two in the good, he said, was activists ramp up the fight against oil pipelines, fracking, and coal exports. And I would have to agree with him. And in Illinois, as you know, we're still in the public comment period for fracking and the new regulations that are going to go into effect, and that the IDNR has proposed, and a lot of what they've proposed doesn't really match what the law would have allowed them to do. What I'm saying is that they're going really easy on the fracking industry, and it's really disturbing. And that public comment period is still on, I think, until what, the 4th of January. It's coming to a close.
If somebody wants to comment, is there a place for them to comment online?
Yes, I'm going to have to track that down because I don't have it up right here. Let me see, and maybe Carol can help me with that. Because,
but even if you put it on your website, that would be great.
Well, I have in the past. Okay, and that's where we're likely to find that. And I know we've posted it on Facebook in the past as well. And I'm scrolling here, but I'll look for that as we continue to talk and give you that information. The point I wanted to make was, you as a scientist look at this and say, hey, we're not getting all the information here. This is really dangerous. Well, duh. Is my response to it, and not to you, but to the industry that continues to obfuscate and cover up and say, you don't really need to know what those chemicals are because they're proprietary. That's proprietary information. Do you know how dangerous that is? You know it. You understand it because you're a scientist. The problem is, we all know how dangerous it is. The only people who don't seem to understand how dangerous it is are our legislators. And scary part.
Well, and I think, in all honesty, I think the public, too, is very ignorant of science in general. I'll have to maybe email you the information. There is a website that did a study, and they basically went to people on the street, and they said, oh, there's this very dangerous chemical. It's called dihydrogen monoxide, and it's responsible for all kinds of deaths through grounding, and then they had some other issues that they listed. And all these people were like, oh, yeah, this should be outlawed. Well, dihydrogen monoxide is just another way of saying water, H2O. And so to have our public be so science illiterate is what is allowing some of these things to happen, because we don't educate ourselves.
It's a really good point. We don't educate ourselves. You're right. I was wrong. It isn't just our legislators, although they are part of that. They are a subset of that ignorant public. Okay.
Right.
Because they're in that office doesn't mean they know any more. In fact, sometimes they seem to know less, and it's just really disturbing.
Well, and you know, the thing is too, whether it is medicine or environmental science or, birding or genetics, there's so much information out there, and it's so specialized that it's very difficult for somebody to get a handle on it, especially if that's not their background. And most of the legislators don't have a background in it. Their background is maybe they're an attorney or they've worked with city planning, so it's not their area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, the second, you had also asked about some other issues, I think. I'm kind of proud of this, so I kind of wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
A number of years ago, bought the remains of an old farmstead in Porter County, and I only got 1 1/3 acres. But when I moved in, there was just lots and lots of plants that were invasive species. And the one that I've been dealing with probably for the last 5 years has been Japanese knotweed. and the kind that grows out here, I mean, there's some that's a low-growing variety, but the kind that grows out here is, you often see it on the sides of the road, and it can be anywhere between, 10 and 12 feet tall. And my understanding is it was introduced in the late, or maybe around like 1890, because people said, oh, this is wonderful species, and it's beautiful, and it grows quickly, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's invasive. And so I've been battling with this stuff for 5 years. And I had one small plot that was, I don't know, the area was maybe 5 feet deep by 30 feet long. And I've been working on pulling this stuff out. And the weeds, the roots just go on and on and on. But this last year, I guess it would have started not this past summer, but the summer before, I'd ripped out a bunch of it. It's easiest to rip it out right after a rain when the soil is wet. And then this past year, I kept at it, but I had some seeds from some jewelweed that was growing nearby. So I said, what the heck, I'll just throw it there and see what happens. Well, this past summer, because we had so much rain, the jewelweed was actually able to choke out the Japanese knotweed, and I didn't have to use Roundup or anything on it. I mean, I know I'm going to have to continue. It's a slow battle, but I was just so surprised to see how nature, without chemicals and things, could actually, you know, work on this tenacious knotweed. It's been a pain.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Although there was, I'm looking up, let's see here. I'm looking up jewelweed as well.
Well, there's a couple different varieties.
Yeah, that's a common name.
The stuff that I have is not the kind that you can use to soothe poison ivy. The kind that I have has the tiny yellow flowers on it. It's a variety of impatience, but it's
right. Exactly. Exactly. It is a form of impatience, and it's interesting. You're not anticipating problems, then eradicating that, are you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because you know what? I think we were just blessed with an unusually wet year out here, because typically along the side of the road, the jewelweed will be, I don't know, maybe 2 feet tall, the very tallest. But again, I went from an area of full sun to an area of partial shade, and we had a lot more water than normal. And instead of being 2 feet tall, this jewelweed was more like four feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was taller and it was more abundant, it was able to block the sunlight getting to the Japanese knotweed.
Uh-huh.
I was amazed when I looked at Japanese knotweed online and I Googled it. There was a website in England that actually was able to quantify the cost associated with getting rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's actually able to come to break through pavement on roads and parking lots. It's wicked stuff.
It is. That's congratulations on your success. There's an analogy to that, and that is with lawns. And I've talked about it on the show before, because as most people know, my slogan or philosophy on lawns is, when in doubt, rip it out. But if you've got weeds and you are tempted to use chemicals, one of the things I tell people is make your lawn more aggressive. That is, provide conditions for the lawn to succeed the way you're. And it will crowd out. It'll crowd out weeds if the lawn is stronger and thicker. So this is something that you can apply in the same way that the jewelweed crowded out the knotweed.
Oh, definitely. Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Because my lawn is whatever is green I cut down. You know, I just don't.
Well, you know, and that's fine too. I don't mind. That doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not a snob about lawns.
Too.
Yeah, there you go. So you're going to get all kinds of stuff. It's and people like you like it when it's green, and I'm fine with that. You know, if it's green, you mow it, whatever. Let's move on to something important.
Right, but then it's like I'm not in an area subdivision or something with a homeowners association. If I was, I may have to take a different approach.
Well, and that's unfortunate as well, if you ask me. But, well, Linda, okay, let me ask you one more question before I go, or before I let you go. And that is about, first of all, I found the information about the comment period.
Oh, wonderful.
And if you go to my website, mikenovak.net.
Okay.
Go to past shows.
Okay.
And scroll to November 24th.
Okay.
Under the headline, other things on the radar screen, you will see information about the fracking comment period in Illinois. But that's just Illinois, of course. You live in Indiana.
Right.
But you know, I think you should be commenting.
I'm always interested in neighboring states.
Right.
Think, you know, we have to think globally, and we're in the Midwest, and we need to be concerned about issues in not just our home state, but other states.
And comments, on, as I see here, comments on the rulemaking may be submitted to the IDNR until Friday, next Friday, January 3rd. There's a couple of places you can go. There's I've got the link to the DNR website there. It's long, so that's why I would advise you to scroll there.
Sure.
Or for folks listening, you can just go to Facebook. To Frack Free Illinois, and that and that has the list as well, and it has the link about the comment period, and it's actually the very first post they have up there right now has that information. So Frack Free Illinois, or go to mikenovak.net, past shows, and scroll to November 24th, and that information is on that date.
Great. I have one more recycling idea for Christmas trees.
Okay.
I am a huge cat lover, and through the years, I've gotten to a point where I don't declaw my cats. Well, they need an alternative inside the house. So what I do is when I take my Christmas tree down, I will, you know, use pruning shears, cut the side branches off, and then I'll cut the trunk into several 30 to 36-inch lengths. And then I just lay them on the floor horizontally, and the cats will use it to scratch. If somebody, you know, has some workshop skills, I'm sure that they could put a base to it so that it, they stand vertically. But the cats love them because it's got the bark and everything on it. You don't have to, well, at least where I get my Christmas tree, it doesn't have fire retardant on it. It doesn't have any of the green dye. You know, I know it's a really healthy choice for them, and it helps me reuse the log. When the log gets too cruddy, I put it out in the yard and I use it for something else.
Yeah. Don't you get that sap all over your house from the cats scratching at it?
No, not really, because the tree has been in the house for a while. It's dry. And so it isn't like you're bringing a fresh tree in that has a lot of sap to it. I just haven't had that problem. Now, I would say, you know, what I also do is when I lay it down, I will usually put like a piece of cardboard or something under it, just because when they do scratch, you're going to have some of the bark that's going to come off. It's going to be kind of messy and stuff, and it just saves me a little bit of vacuuming. But, no, I haven't had that problem.
Well,
I'm not saying that it won't happen, but I just haven't had it in the past.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. That's a great recycling tip. I appreciate it. Linda, I'm so glad that you caught the show this morning, and you're welcome to be my science advisor and call in about scientific stuff if you want.
I don't know about that. I can put you in touch with some people who would be much better.
That'd be great.
I am.
That's great too. I appreciate it. Well, have a happy new year and many more, and I hope we talk again soon.
Great. You know, one more thing.
Sure.
The Porter County Master Gardeners always have a show in January. Their show this year is going to be January 25th, which is a Saturday. It's from 8 to 4. And Valparaiso and Porter County, we are on Chicago time. It's not like we're on Eastern time. The admission is $10, and it's at the Porter County Expo Center. But they always have lots of, I think you've actually spoken at it, maybe.
I have.
They have lots of interesting speakers, and they have a bulb and a seed exchange. It's an awesome way to kind of get you thinking about spring.
And if you had been listening last week, you would know that we talked about that very show last week. But it doesn't.
Oh, man. That's the first time. I'll claim that.
That's okay, but I don't mind you bringing it up. Porter County, Indiana, Saturday, January 25th. 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Speakers include Greg Stack, Amanda Thompson, Dolly Foster, my buddy Jennifer Brennan, and more. And it's only $10. There's lots going on there, and it's all day, and it's a great, great show, and I'm happy to give it another plug. And that information is on my website also. See, this is why I do the website, MikeNovak.net, past shows, just last week, December 22nd. You can look it up right there.
Great. Well, I am looking forward to checking out the website and listening again.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda. And like I said, Happy New Year. I hope we talk again soon.
Great. Happy New Year. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. We got a couple of more folks there. Michael and John, hang on a second. We're taking phone calls. We're taking tweets. I just noticed something. Carol, you'd be interested in this. This is kind of funny.
What's that?
I was looking at my phone. Two days ago.
Yeah, today's the 29th.
I was looking at my interactions on my very, very smartphone, and I got another Snapchat person added to me.
Oh, you're getting sucked in. I see it.
No, but this wasn't because
good.
Of the show today. It was 2 days ago, and I missed it.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of the Frozen Robins, one of our newbies who is under 30. So it just tells you something.
It's a whole new market.
It is.
Yeah, we'll have to tap in.
I'm going to do that. So you feel free to add me to Snapchat, Mike_Novak, and you can do that. We got a couple of phone calls coming in. You're also welcome to call 773-763-9278. Now, regardless of whether this is the final Sunday of 2013, I can tell you with breathless excitement that I happen to have in my lukewarm little hands a copy of the January-February 2014 issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. They're calling it the Ideas issue. So I took a look at the table of contents and I found these stories. Ideas for houseplants, ideas for curb appeal, ideas for the edible garden, ideas for hardscapes, ideas for soil, ideas for kids gardening, ideas for containers, ideas for parkways, ideas for a successful pond, and Mike Novak. That last one is a bit of a clunker after all those great ideas. As usual, because you're going to want to keep your own lukewarm mitts on this issue, it even has three holes punched into the left side so you can put it in your own three-ring binder with your own drawings and notes and, well, whatever you put in a three-ring binder. I usually keep advertising copy for my radio show, so what do I know? Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at newsstands all over town. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to, and as you can tell, our caller Linda has a subscription because she reads my column. Poor girl. Get a subscription at chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Trees are more than their business. It is their passion. As I have said many times, the Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of life. For their certified arborists, caring for trees is both a profession and a way of life. They contribute their time and expertise to the communities they serve, whether helping out on a town's landscape committee, contributing to tree preservation plans, or giving a talk to a local green or garden club. They're pleased to be the largest tree care company in the nation to earn accreditation from the Tree Care Industry Association, the TCIA. The Care of Trees has always been committed to delivering the best tree care services to their clients And now that long-standing commitment has been recognized by the TCIA. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. New Year. Hello. Oh, yes. We welcome you here. We'll wind our tears all of yesterday. For New Year has come our way.
Well, some New Year songs do a little better than others. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to the phones again. And Michael, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hello. I was calling regarding potatoes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It so happens a few weeks back, I was listening to the radio, and the supplement sales presentation, they indicated that potatoes are one of the most vegetables that are most soaked with toxic substances and compounds. And I'm wondering what the connection might be. Now, the potato's tuber itself grows underground, whereas the foliage, maybe it's necessary in commercial production to spray them, spray the foliage. I don't know what the connection, why potatoes would be considered to be such a toxic source of chemicals.
I don't have the exact answer. I have some ideas. First of all, let me tell you that I have read about this. If you read any of Michael Pollan's work, and that's spelled P-O-L-L-A-N, Michael okay. Pollan, he's written a couple of one of the books that you might want to read is called The Botany of Desire. And he looks at four plants. One of them is a potato. And also he looks at the tulip, apples, and marijuana in that book. And he talks basically about, or writes basically about, how those plants have changed us, how we have adapted to them, rather than the other way around. We think we run everything and we control everything, but there are plants, there are animals. I mean, you look at a dog, you look at a cat, they understood what they needed to do to survive, to adapt and survive, and guess what they have? And, you know, you could make the argument that we need dogs more than they need us. But it's certainly mutual. But in terms of potatoes, he writes in that book, he talks about how what we call conventional potato harvesting and growing involves a lot of chemicals. Now, I suspect it has something to do with the fact that they are tubers and that you don't want them to rot, so you're dealing with fungicides, that sort of thing. You can also get a lot of diseases because they are related, they're in the same family as tomatoes, and which is why you're not supposed to grow them too near each other and use the same space. So you need to rotate your crops. And that, as we know, tomatoes are subjected to a lot of diseases, and I suspect it's the same thing with potatoes. Now, I don't grow them commercially. I've grown them as a hobby. Done okay, so far. One of the things I have done recently in my own habits is I won't buy anything but organic potatoes anymore. I just have decided that, I don't want to deal with the chemicals on potatoes. You know, if you read Michael Pollan, it'll raise the hair on your head, when he talks about what goes in to producing what we call conventional potato crops. So that's what I have to say about that. I mean, if I had 15 minutes here, I could track down something and let you know. But This is also what I've heard. So what you've heard is the same thing I've heard and have read about and have been told about by experts I know. And it makes me shy away from conventionally produced potatoes.
Well, it's a very good case to grow your potatoes in containers.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Well, you know, but that's sort of the argument about one of the arguments about homegrown food in general.
Yes.
You know what's been applied to it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, we were talking earlier a little bit about fracking and how, you know, you have proprietary chemicals and they won't tell you what it is. Well, same thing with your food. You don't know what has been applied to that. You really don't.
Right.
And if you have any doubts at all, there's a certification process for organic or, you know, even we've talked about this on the show with local farmers who grow crops organically, but they're not organically certified. But if you know your farmer, you know where the food is coming from, and you know, if you feel like you can trust your farmer, then you know that that potato has not been sprayed and it hasn't been doused in chemicals.
All right.
So that's another good reason to know your farmer and find a local farm, find a CSA, community supported agriculture that you support, and go that route. So, I think you're right to have some doubts about it, and whatever you heard is along the same lines of the stuff I've heard, Michael.
Okay, and I've also heard that potato skins are highly carcinogenic. I wonder if it's the same product.
Well, I don't know they're carcinogenic, but maybe they're talking about skins that have been exposed to sunlight. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything that I can't back up right away. Right. I'm going to do some research on this, but okay. I can't imagine they're highly carcinogenic under normal circumstances. Otherwise, why would we be eating all these potatoes?
Yeah.
I suspect it's when they're exposed to light that there's a chemical process that goes on and makes them less palatable and perhaps not as safe, but that's why you're warned about storing potatoes in sunlight. You need to keep them in a dark area.
All right, one more question. Where is this garden show in Porter, Indiana?
Oh, let me go. Okay, hold on. I can track it down right now because it's on December 22nd. It's doom-ba-da-doom. I'm clicking on the link, which is pcgarden.info/gardening_show, and it's at the Porter County Exposition Center, 215 East Division Road, Valparaiso, Indiana.
In Valpo, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling in, Michael. Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
773-763-9278. I think I got that right. Let's go to John. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Hey, the lady scientist from Indiana you had on there,
yeah,
the invasive weeds, I find that if you cover them all up with cardboard boxes, like appliance stores,
yeah,
you know, they got refrigerators, stoves, dishwashers, who knows, you put the cardboard down. And then you weight down the cardboard, and it kills everything into the root system. In addition, if that doesn't work, first I go ahead and I rototill it, but the weeds get tied up in the tines,
yeah,
and then sometimes it's so doggone tight it'll kill a rototiller, and then I have to use like a wood chisel and a hammer to cut through the weeds and then unbundle it and then start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that a few times. That way you break up the weeds, let the sun get to them, starts drying them out, they shrivel up. And then after you smooth it back out, lay down cardboard, or if you got hay, and then you start killing all the weeds.
You know, that's a great way to do it, and I know people who do that organically. They put cardboard down. They like using that method. Now, it does take longer, you know, and that's the problem with our society is that we want to zap something instantly, and we want it done, you know, in a day.
Oh, you have to let the cardboard sit over the winter time.
Sure. Well, over the winter. You know, the other thing you can do is you can solarize it with plastic.
True. But, you know, that's a petroleum product, and you don't want to have that dissolve and go into the ground.
Very good. You're absolutely right. So, and the other problem with solarization is that it kills everything.
Right.
If you put cardboard down, the biology of the soil is going to be protected. That's still not going to be affected, even though the weed will be killed because it can't get light.
Right.
So,
but at the same time, you start up back in the spring, you go ahead and break the cardboard up with a rototiller, that's still good for the soil. And then after you plant your plants in your garden, you go around each plant, and say you make rows, you put down smaller cardboard up on top of the dirt so you don't have any more invasive weeds coming up, and basically the water will flow towards your plant and not through the cardboard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the weeds are pernicious, though. They can duck around cardboard if you don't have it in one solid sheet.
Right.
You know that.
Well, I overlap it all.
I overlap it
and then weight it down with something.
Yeah, but around the plants, you were saying?
No, not around the plants.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Like in the rows in between the plants and stuff.
Yeah.
If you have a walking space, put enough cardboard in there for your walking space. Say your distance and plants are 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
Put them in between the plants like a foot.
Now, there's some weeds, though, that are really, really difficult to deal with.
Sure.
You know, we're talking bindweed and we're talking Creeping Charlie is one of them.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Some of those are going to try to do an end around and get under the cardboard and come up wherever, as far out as you've put it. You know, and the other thing about rototilling that's dangerous is if you're chopping up, say, creeping char or bindweed, you know, any bit, a little bit of root that is there can sprout. And so you need to keep it. What weeds have you been effective with in killing?
I don't know. My place is way up north in northern Wisconsin, and yeah. I've got weeds that came up that I have never seen before. I think were weeds that I brought up in potting soil.
Uh-huh.
And used the old potting soil to lay out in the garden. And I think some of those weeds came from the potting soil mixes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite possible that could happen.
Well, then after I do that, I was even thinking about buying that propane torch thing and then go around with a long hose, you know, and then kill the root system that way, possibly.
People do that. They've been known to.
That's another option.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you first tackle it, some of the weeds were already about an inch in diameter. And I'm going around with a weed whacker trying to cut them, and I keep breaking the line. So I naturally get them out of there. And the soil's so bad, I can't even use a fork or a shovel.
Yikes.
And then that's when I sit there and start thinking, well, I'm too old. Let's start rototill and see what happens. And it happens to work out well. And right now the garden up north is covered up with the appliance boxes waiting for springtime.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the tip. That's great. I appreciate it, John.
Okay.
And have a happy new year.
You too.
All right. Take care. And thanks for listening.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
773-763-9278. Let me take care of last bit of business. I got Bob and Steve hanging on. Before I do that, I did a little research here. Talking about green potatoes, I wanted to make sure I had it right. A common toxin found in our kitchens includes potatoes that have turned green. Solanine, a natural glycoalkaloid, can occur when potatoes are exposed to too much light. The green color just under the skin strongly suggests that toxic buildup may have occurred. If you notice a slight green layer just under the potato skin, cut away the green portions of the potato skin before cooking and eating. There's no need to discard your favorite tuber since the non-green portion is safe to eat. It is recommended not to consume potatoes with a bright green layer just under the potato skin since it may cause headache, nausea, fatigue, and gastrointestinal issues. You can avoid this problem by storing the potatoes in a dark, cool, dry place, as I mentioned before. So that's the issue with the potatoes, the glycoalkaloid, which can form solanine. There you have it. I wanted to let you know, wait a second, where are we here? Yeah, let's do this. We'll be right back and take a couple of more phone calls.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city in north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
In this coming year, I'm gonna be discreet. Have the slickers playing music soft and sweet. I resolve to treat Tchaikovsky tenderly and set his second movement off with TNT.
Does it like Spike Jones? It's the Mike Novak Show. Happy New Year, everybody. Without our, well, that's, I got that. I got the bell. I guess I got, I could do the, and I've got
real butter.
There we go. Carol, you've been busy in there taking phone calls.
I have. People have a lot to say today.
That's great.
So, yeah, it is great.
Let's continue to listen to them. Let's go to Bob. You're on the Mike Novak Show, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year, Mike. Your Indiana caller pointed to something that I think goes a lot deeper in our country, and that's the way the public perceives technical and scientific issues. You know, they can be whipsawed by the media, and often the ads and promotion they hear are really funded by the corporations that stand to benefit from these various proposals like fracking and all these other things. But the real underlying problem, as I see it, is that the technical and scientific professionals in this country actually work for the corporations that that have a profit motive. And if there was a large silent majority in this country, I think it is the science and technical professionals. They just don't seem to have a voice in the arena of public discussion. Everything that the public hears about technical issues are either infotainment or they're corporate paid ads. What do you think about that?
That's a really good point. I think money talks, unfortunately, and the people who have the voices and the loudest voices have the most money. One of the things you'll find out if you work at all for any length of time, and I don't know if you've worked with environmental organizations, their climb, you know, and I find it interesting, Bob, because you get the people on one side of the argument, the anti-environmentalists claim that the environmental groups are always bullying people and they have this agenda and we're all being slaves to this agenda, when in fact the environmental organizations are the ones struggling because it's tough to raise money. And the other side, which tends to be large corporations, oil companies and that sort of thing, they have all the money they need. That argument to me doesn't hold water. So what I'm saying is the message is really hard to get out, if you don't have money. And the other thing you said, it's true, is that we don't, and what Linda said earlier on the program that is really disappointing is that people aren't as interested in science as they should be. And I find that folks are not as curious. Little things, when I go to a garden club, I say, hey, do you ever look on the underside of a leaf to see what's there? Are you kind of interested? If you see a bug, do you go online and look up what that was?
Yeah.
Or do you just spray it? You know?
That's very true. That's very true. Seems to be a muted curiosity about things.
Yeah.
One thing that really bothers me, too, is...
What's that?
We've got all these technical and professional organizations out there, and they don't seem to engage... the public, and I'm sure a lot of them have outreach programs, and I know they sponsor this and they sponsor that, but on technical issues that are very, very clear, and there are very many out there that are that way, the professional societies just seem to close down. They don't want to get involved with the politics of it, and the ones that do, you know, like the Union of Concerned Scientists, they probably go the other way. I mean, they're so extreme in some of the arguments they use. I'm sure a lot of the technical professionals that are involved with them, they get tired of it, too.
Yeah. I can't argue with you there, Bob. I see those messages, those emails, the newsletters that come from each side. And I'll give you a perfect example of it, and that is a bee loss. We know that probably... our pesticides are involved. Quite probably the neonicotinoids are involved. And yet we have not expressly, specifically been able to nail that down. That's the true science. The true science is that we really don't know the exact answer. We're probably right when we talk about pesticides. I suspect that is the smoking gun, but you can't say it unless you know it is. And yet we get a lot of folks out there who say, nope, that's it. That's it. That's what's doing it. No, you're not right when you say that. And I know that it upsets some people on the left side, but the science is still uncertain. Yeah, a lot of things point in that direction. I understand that. And guess what? If I were president, if I were king, I would ban neonicotinoids tomorrow. But that being said, we still have not nailed it down, and you're being disingenuous when you say that we have.
Well, you know, I think, you know, one thing that you're pointing out there is there isn't a voice. You know, there's not a public discourse on this thing, particularly in the political arena. Why don't we have an office or a secretary of science and technology? It plays such a critical role in everything we do, but yet you've got corporations that are really writing the legislation on technical and scientific issues that, you know, affect our very lives.
You know what, Bob? The reason we don't have it is because if we started that office, the Republicans would complain that it's big government run amok. That's why. Honest to God, they would.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I just wish that there was something we could do. But I'll tell you, when corporations write legislation, that really frosts me to no end. When I know that there's technical professionals out there.
Yeah, I know.
That probably work for these corporations.
And part of it is, and from what I've seen from my vantage point, being a radio guy, getting to know politicians a little bit, getting to know bigwigs a little bit, whether they're in the business or they're even in environmental areas, people in the upper echelons like to rub elbows with people in the upper echelons. And also you get to buy your way to the table to negotiate these things. The average citizen, you and I, and maybe that's not even fair to say me because I have a radio show. So let's just say the average citizen does not have access to these decisions. And even to say we have it at the ballot box, while that's so far removed from sitting down and writing fracking regulations in Illinois, that it might as well not count. I mean, yeah, we still need to vote. Don't get me wrong. If you don't vote, then I don't want to talk to you. I'm not interested in your opinion because you don't have one as far as I'm concerned. But that being said, that's a long way from actually having real influence. You know, your one vote. And yeah, it's really important, but you don't get to sit down at the table because you don't have the money. And guess what? You're not famous enough. You're not big enough to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another thing, and I'll close with this. But, I've been involved in science and technology for most of my career, and I've met some very, very brilliant people, very educated people. But when you ask them to go into the arena of politics, and I've done that, they just back off. It's unbelievable. And I don't know if it's because of their nature, they don't have the kind of personality or interest, but even on issues where they feel passionate, they just don't want to raise their hand. They don't want to say something. Very often it's because they work in that industry, and they could be blackballed.
Yeah, you know, it's also because politics has gotten so ugly. It's that, who can blame them, really? I mean, I agree with you. Wouldn't it be? This argument about philosopher kings has been going on for centuries. There are no philosopher kings. We wish there were. You know, the closest thing we get is maybe a Bernie Sanders, but he's more of a populist philosopher king. Maybe an Ellen Warren. Who knows? But
how many scientists and engineers are senators or congressmen?
Not very many, sure.
Yeah, I think that's where I think that the professional associations, the talented people in the science and technical community, need to raise their hand and start running for office.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take one more call, Bob. I think you've brought up some great points. Thank you for calling in. Have a great new year.
Bye-bye.
And Steve, you're going to get the last word here. We have a couple of minutes left. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. A couple of points. I did want to disagree to some extent with your last caller in that I don't think that the scientific community is by and large owned by corporations and the private sector. You have a great many people who have advanced degrees, who are in the research community, who are at universities, who work for think tanks, who work for organizations like the National Academy of Sciences, NOAA, NASA, you know, all of which have declared things that the right and so-called corporate, the corporate world dislikes, such as global warming, to be a fact at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of good scholarship, but what we need to do is differentiate. And unfortunately, this is the problem we have when we communicate with people. There is opinion and there's authoritative opinion. If I'm having a pain in my chest, what my doorman thinks about that is an opinion. What the head of cardiothoracic surgery at Northwestern University thinks about it is authoritative opinion. And that's the difference. Unfortunately, today we have public policy that's being made by the likes of Glenn Beck, drug-addicted college dropout, Rush Limbaugh, drug-addicted college dropout. Why in heaven's name would we pay any attention to these persons with regard to any public policy issue? Yet we do. And the reason that I would argue you don't get a lot of people from the scientific community who are interested in running for office, because politics is not about getting facts across in the way that we do in academia. I myself have a long history in academia. I earned a doctorate in public policy. And there, ideas are put on the table, they are challenged, and in a civil manner, the discourse takes place. And no one would think about offering up something as ridiculous as, oh my God, you know, it's a cold day in June, so therefore it can't be global warming, you know, which is an asinine argument, but having no scientific basis. And then I also wanted to add, with regard to this question of how we can have a sustainable food source in terms of growing organic and not utilizing insecticides and pesticides and so forth, which for someone like myself, I'm fortunate enough to be able to make those choices. But in a world where you have to feed 7.5 billion people and growing, is it possible to have a sustainable food source that is organic, that is free of what many consider to be toxins, while at the same time not starving billions of people. Because the reality is, I would love to say that without chemical X, Y, and Z, we could grow just as much food and produce just as much for people to eat around the world. But the reality is that we can't at this point. So
yeah,
what
it's tough. We've talked about that question on this show, and it's a difficult and challenging question which needs to be answered. Listen, that great comment, Steve. I appreciate it. You have a great New Year, all right? There we go. You know, I've got great listeners. I love the last couple of calls and how they differed in their opinions. Well, here we are at the end of the year. Carol, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
And go green or
go home.